Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to India Shelter Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you, Ikra. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to India Shelter Q4 FY26 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank India Shelter Management Team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of India Shelter, represented by Mr. Upinder Singh, MD and CEO, Mr. Ashish Gupta, CFO, Mr. Rahul Rajagopalan, heading Investor Relations. I will now hand over the call to Upinder Ji for his opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Renish Ji. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the company, I extend a warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining us on our 10th earnings call. Last 10 quarters have been satisfying in terms of our journey, post-listing particularly. Before we discuss our quarterly and annual performance, let me briefly touch upon the broader macroeconomic environment, the operating landscape, and some of the strategic priorities shaping our businesses. For the past year, the Indian economy has continued to demonstrate resilience despite an increasing uncertainty globally and domestic backdrop. Global markets have been impacted by geopolitical tensions due to the ongoing war, supply chain disruptions, and slowing growth across developed economies. Ongoing geopolitical uncertainty and volatility in commodity markets have also created pressure on household spending patterns and overall consumer sentiments. On the domestic side, rural and semi-urban markets have faced temporary stress from uneven and abnormal monsoon patterns across certain regions, impacting agriculture cash flows and informal income segments. Recent LPG supply disruptions and related availability issues in some markets created short-term operating challenges for households and small businesses. That said, India continues to remain one of the fastest-growing major economies, supported by strong domestic consumption, infrastructure-led growth, formalization of credit, and the long-term structural demand for housing. At the broader level, several high-frequency indicators continue to reflect the underlying strength of the economy. Like GST collections have remained robust, consistently averaging around 1.7 to 1.8 lakh crores per month, indicating sustained formalization and consumption momentum. Digital payment continued to scale rapidly, with UPI transactions now exceeding 18 to 20 lakh crores monthly, reflecting deepening financial inclusion and formalization across urban as well as semi-urban markets. In addition, system credit growth remains healthy, supported by demand across retail segments, including housing finance. These trends provide a support for sustained economic activities and reinforce confidence in long-term prospects. In such an environment, the key differentiators remain prudent underwriting, strong collections, granular market expansion, and consistent focus on return ratios rather than growth alone. I am pleased to share that we have delivered another year of strong and consistent performance with significant milestone in this financial year. Like, we crossed rupees 10,000 crore a year in this financial year. We crossed 300 plus branches in existing geographies. In this year's consistent delivery of ROE above 17%, annual profitability crossed 500 crore for the company. For us, annual growth remains in a guided range, with the AUM growing at 29% year-on-year to rupees 11,044 crores. In quarter four for financial 26, for the first time, our disbursement crossed 1,000 crores. In this quarter, we added 6 new branches. And for the year, we have added 41 branches in line with our branch expansion strategy of adding 40 to 45 branches each year. On asset quality metrics, 30 plus has improved by 100 bps, quarter on quarter to 4%, Gross stage 3 improved by 29 dips quarter-on-quarter to 1.2%, and net stage 3 improved further by 23 dips to 0.9%. On profitability metrics, PAT for the quarter came at ₹138 crores, registering a growth of 27% year-on-year and 11% quarter-on-quarter. Return on equity further improved to 17.6% in this quarter. Our net worth now stands at ₹3,198 crores. On that note, let me share the guidance for coming times. Branch addition of around 40 to 45 for the year, maintaining the spreads of more than 6% in the medium term. Credit cost to remain between 40 to 50 bps. Loan growth of 25 to 30% for next 3 years, with a clear goal of reaching ₹30,000 crores AUM by 2030. Now I would like to hand over the call to Ashish, our CFO, to take you through the financial metrics. Over to you.
Thanks, Rupinder ji. Good morning, friends. Let me take you through key financial numbers. We have ended the FY26 with AUM of more than 11,000 crore. Year-on-year growth in AUM is 29%, quarter-on-quarter growth is 7%. Our portfolio yield is 14.8%, down by 10 basis points year-on-year basis. Our disbursement yield in Q4 was 14.6%. Our bucket cost of fund is 8.2%, while our marginal cost of fund in Q4 was 7.9%. Thus, our margin in at bucket level and incremental level are well above our guided level of 6%. We had drawn down 378 crore from National Housing Bank in Q4 at 7.5%, and still we have a balance of more than 300 crore for drawdown in Q1. Our borrowing profile continued to be diversified with more than 30 counterparties. Share of NHB funding is stable at 15%. Average borrowing tenure is more than 8 years. Net interest income for quarter is up by 31% year-on-year on the back of strong growth in our AUM and improvement in spreads. Coming to OPEX, our year-on-year growth in OPEX is 26%, which is lower than the growth in total AUM. Same is resulting in better cost ratios. OPEX to AUM for the quarter and year is down by 20 basis points year-on-year in line with our guidance. Cost to income for the quarter and year is at 36%, down by about 100 basis points year-on-year. On asset quality side, stage 3 is at 1.2%, down by 30 basis points quarter-on-quarter. ECR for stage 3 asset is stable at 25%. Our total ECL is 87 crore against the regulatory threshold of 47 crore. Considering overall macroeconomic environment, we have applied management overlay of additional 2% provision on stage 2 assets. Same has impacted our credit cost by 5 crore in Q4. Including this, our credit cost for the quarter and year is 30 basis point and 50 basis point respectively, in line with our guidance for medium term. BT out for the year is down to 4.5%, down by about 80 basis point year on year. Our focused data-driven approach of customer retention is helping us to contain BT out even in a declining interest rate scenario. On interest rate risk side, we have been able to bring down the percentage of fixed rate portfolio funded by variable rate liabilities from about 33% in March 24 to about 8% this year. We are committed to further bring this down to about 5% in FY27. On liquidity side, we are comfortably placed with liquidity of more than 600 crore and undrawn sanction of 1400 crore. Our ALM is positive across all the buckets. With this, I conclude, and now we can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Please note, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Pal from MSA Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you so much. Sir, congratulations, great performance, delivered whatever you all committed last quarter. Just wanted to know, how are we looking at things on the ground? Because there's so much news on shortages, Is it impacting current behavior because of these negative news that is going on?
So I think last year was a year which started with a war, with India-Pakistan war, and ended with a war again. That was again in the Middle East, which we all know about it. And typically Middle East war has, led to the shortage, which we all are aware of. So keeping those things, we generally observing the trends typically in quite a few markets where the restaurant, commercial gas supply are disrupted, which everyone knows around that piece. Now we see for the set of customers who are there, instantly we don't feel that there is any, impact in terms of their behavior particularly, but still we feel it's a watchful situation basically, because within a month you can't find any particular pattern coming around that piece. So every day there is a different set of news which are coming from globally, and sentiments also keep, coming up and down. Government push whatever they are trying to do, they are trying to do their bit, whatever they can do in certain circumstances. But as of now, typically as we close the March month, we didn't find much of the difficulty in terms of customer. But yes, it's a cautious environment. This quarter is going to play, give a output in terms of that piece. So we are constantly, in touch with the ground realities and seeing how the things can be taken care of in kind of any situation that is there. Hopefully, the way the news are coming up and down, you might have today morning news also, where some, proposals are coming on the table. If things work out, it can be wonderful for everyone around. But yes, you have to keep our fingers crossed and have a tap on the market in India. Instead, if you ask me that there is some knee-jerk reaction or something happened in terms of delinquency, I would say instantly today we don't have an answer for that piece. Things looks okay till month of March.
All right. And sir, this quarter there was a bit of softness in the DA drawdown during the period, and Q4 is typically heavy.
So that is our internal strategy basically that we keep working upon depending upon situation. For us, DA is majorly for our basically PPC requirement, and I think we are holding at 63-64% of PPC. That suffices our requirement. So this is we want to be in a range of 15-18%, and we are maintaining that 15-16%. That is sufficient for us.
Okay, alright. No, makes sense. Thank you so much, and wishing you and the team all the very best. Great set of performance, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. So firstly, on the guidance, so earlier we indicated 30-35% maybe over the medium term. Now we are suggesting that it will be 25-30% next year, with again a goal to reach like 30,000 crores by 2030, which suggests like another like 28-29% over next 3 years. So in this, what is the kind of disbursement growth that we are looking at? How we should see it stacking up? Maybe last 2 quarters it's been at 11-odd%. So now what's the outlook on that?
So the reason for what we are finding the environment to be a little cautionary, we don't want to play around just simply into one more that is a disbursement. This is a business which is more on the balance side. You have to be optimal on the all aspects basically. But yes, we know these times are quite temporary that way. Our teams, our synergies are lying very well. In fact, our logins are increasing day by day, but our business rule engine, the credit engine that has to function, that has been tightened up purposely, keeping in mind all the aspects which is happening there. So we've been a little cautious in that way. That is why we are talking about in a range bound of 25 to 30. We are not saying it's going to be 25. We only will look forward that it should be touching around whatever around to 30% around that piece. So that is our thought process particularly. But in the environment, we don't want to be something ignoring those aspects. That is the way. Having said so, as we progress in our journey, so as the time came back in a conducive form, I think we should pick up quickly. Our branch model, branch expansion model, that's going to remain that piece. Our objective of getting a productivity that has to be remain continuing in that piece. And our focus into these two products, that's going to remain that piece. So we are a positive word in long run that we will be able to maintain this 30,000 crore. Even if we maintain this 27-28% of growth for next 3-4 years, we'll be able to achieve that 30,000 crore, just to give an idea around that side.
Yeah.
If you talk about
that suggests like almost 27 to 28 odd percent CAGR suggests that we can reach 30,000
And that is exactly we, you know, 2 years back we came with a strategy where we want to be 2030. That looks very well in line even in today's environment also, and we are quite confident about that.
Yeah, so in terms of rejection rates, if you can highlight how much could be the, in terms of rejection, how much it could have gone, maybe gone up compared to that of maybe login. So overall, maybe disbursements to login ratio, how it would have changed, that would also be helpful. And overall, any particular number of disbursement growth that we are targeting over maybe in the medium term, next 24 months?
Absolutely. So if you talk about login to sanction ratio, during normal days, it used to be around 55-58%. That should be the range around. Depends upon seasonality, quarter, and the, how the business is prospecting in that form. Today, that is less than 50%. It is. It has even bottomed down to the level of 40-43%. But that's all what the BRE works around, give the right input instead of having any you know, bias towards the human understanding. So that is the which we rely on. So irrespective of those logins are going up, we curtail that piece to be a little conservative on that side. So that 43-45% which has end month of this quarter particularly has slightly inched up to 45-47%. This is the internal piece what we got it. But in the normal circumstances, it should be around 55%. So I think even if we are able to disburse say 20% of growth in terms of disbursement year, we'll be able to achieve the numbers what we are talking about in terms of 25-28% growth.
Got it. Perfect. And the other question is on co-lending. So I believe because of the change in the regulations, we have hardly seen any co-lending. But how do we pursue it now? When do we see it coming back? How long would it take? Because again, like co-lending growth was maybe that's something which we were targeting to scale it up. So if you can just provide the outlook on that, yeah.
Kunalji, we from beginning we never had a very clear-cut focus on a co-lending particularly. In two and a half years of our business around co-lending, we created a book size of around 450-460 crore of overall piece what we have it, which is around approximately 4% of our business. And the purpose was basically just to try and test a new set of products, what we can do that piece. And we felt that this is also with changing time, we should be very well adapted to those, adapted to that piece. But in typical this scenario, what we see that between CLM1, CLM2 models, we adopted CLM2 to try that piece. For CLM1, I think we have to wait some more time. If you ask me exact timelines, it will be difficult at this juncture. But we are, you know, closely discussing with few of the institutions, banks on that side, how it can be taken to the next level. In our plan, in our budget, we are not included any of the numbers which is around the co-lending. It is again going to be a testing piece for some time before we, you know, conclude to the real directional business for us particularly. So basically for us, it is not something which we have to worry around at all.
Got it. Perfect. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Mishra, your line is unmuted. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning, Rupinder. Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question is, what is the split of the disbursement in FY26 between LAP and home loans? And how do we see it growing in 27? Each, if we can speak about each of the parts. Second is that when I look at the LAP proportion, it's gone up from say 43-44% versus home loans. Although the home loans, which is on book, is much higher. I think that is more to do with the PBC. However, how are we looking at the demand in the, and if you can split this into two or three parts, first is the policy help from CLSS2. Second is the actual demand, the actual down payment capability of the demographics of the customers that we cater to. and the supply from various developers, if they still find enough margins to build these kind of affordable houses. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Shubhanshuji. For our business, we first and foremost see our PPC requirement, and as we met fully PPC requirement, then we also realized that we have to maintain other optics, which is including your yields, your output, your productivity. So 56-57% or 1% at here there is nothing something which we can be, we can read between the lines that there is some certain change which has come up around that piece. So for us, the basic principle criteria remains same, quite important, and that is why we, our focus remains particularly first thing that has to work on. So as in earlier question, someone asked why you reduce the DA, that has been the case also. And particularly here, if it is 57-56%, it doesn't matter in much of the way. Till the time we are maintaining all the optics. Because same market, same way of sourcing it, almost same kind of customer, will not worry in that terms, and it doesn't give an idea that there's some outtrend in terms of a housing uptake or housing coming down particular. That is not the case at all. Our prerogative is largely in a self-construction and purchase cases, which we focus on. We don't have a tie with the builders in terms of that affordable segment. Builders are something, you know, unless if they are not supplying in markets, so our demand is going to affect. For me, the markets of Tier 3, Tier 4 are extremely important, where the construction, self sale purchase that happens. That is my major portfolio. In fact, most of the portfolio went up on the housing per se. So that still is going as per the normal standards that what we see in our last few years. Obviously, we have tightened up the norms, that may be the other aspect, but we don't find the things around that side. Reason, example, if you see the login ratio, the login numbers, that is continued to pick up basically. Otherwise, there should be a little dried up around that side. And those are the factors to keep in mind. So I don't think that because of those factors that builder is not supplying or something that way, that is not the case in our kind of advice. Yes, I heard keep looking for hearing those things particularly, that because of builder supply, there may be some disruption in some of the markets, but we are not available to those large markets of Tier 1 or Tier 2 with a tie up with the builder particularly. We are very well segregated, focused into those granular markets where self-construction and, you know, purchase cases are dominating it.
Right. Did you give the split of the disbursements for LAP and SL in 26, and how do we see each portion growing in 27?
In fact, in HL percentage has slightly gone up because in quarter 2, quarter 3, we were a little more focused on the HL, keeping in mind again the PPC piece. And going forward, we continue to feel that there should not be much of difference between LAP and HL in financial year 27 also. That's going to remain the same ratio.
What is the ratio is what I'm trying to ask. That's possibly not in the PPT. Hence, I'm asking what is the ratio between LAP and HL disbursement?
It's 56-57% for HL and remaining is LAP. That is going to be the same range form.
Understood. Thank you so much. Yeah. This was very helpful. Right. And best of luck for next few quarters.
Thank you so much, Subhashishi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Mistry from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on a good quarter. Sir, I have two questions. First of all, as you already guided for 40 to 45 branches each year, and your OPEX to AUM currently lies at around 3.9-4%. So what is the normal run rate we can expect, and what are the efforts you are currently putting in? Because across the peer, it seems like a higher number. And secondly, on the asset quality front, so the outcome during the quarter was significantly better. So in last quarter, we had let few slippages to take surprise action on few of the accounts. So this quarter seems like a good improvement over that, and even with the better credit cost this time. So where is this improvement come from? Has the recoveries come organically from these accounts once they moved into stage 3 or any other, you know, or maybe some write-offs from there. So, yeah. So these are my two questions. Thanks.
So there are two set of questions you asked me. First is OPEX to AUM particularly. So we feel there is always a scope of improvement, and last 4 to 5 years we have this trend improving year on year. So the first prerogative, which everyone was asking, when you are going to bring back less than 4%, that this year we are tracking that piece. What is our objective? Every year it should come down by 15 to 20 bps, and things look very well on track. So earlier the 40-45 branches, we were opening on a smaller base. Now on the base of 307 branches which we exist today, the 45 is hardly 13-14%, which is to be say 18-20% a few years back basically. So this is one of the aspects which is going to support in our journey typically on this side. Yes, automatically productivity also picks up as your AUM is going to keep going on. And I believe that getting those 15 to 20 bps reduction in OPEX to AUM is not a trivial task which we have to think twice around at least. That's all bound to happen particularly. Second question, which was more on a credit cost largely and how the GNPA has come down. So I think structurally when your NPA levels goes up at certain level, which in our case, which was in quarter two particularly, your surfacey action starts coming into picture. And that is a some time of 6 to 8 months. And as that reach that level, then you will realize that your reduction starts happening. That is a good part, beauty of this product, which is a mortgage product and housing finance product particularly. The tool which has been given, provided by the ecosystem, the government, that helps very well into that side. So most of these resolutions, that is purely on basis of that, these are in organic form.
Okay, sir. And one more question, which I think it was partially answered, that the disbursements growth rate of, what is disbursement growth rate that we expect. But if we even consider, around 15 to 20% of disbursement growth, then your prepayment rate will move up significantly, will have to go down significantly, right? So how are you planning to, grow at 5 to 7% on a sequential basis that you guide for quarterly? And I mean, on the disbursements, I would just like to know your strategy on how do you plan to retain your customers and lower your BT out so that your prepayment rate goes down.
Thankfully, our BT out is reducing year on year. That's been a trend. As in early commentary, our CFO mentioned that BT out has been the lowest among last 3-4 years. So our system, what we have created on this set of customers, that's working well for us. And that's going to continue work in that direction. In particular time, when situation is always alarming and cautionary, which we can see across market, you always find for everyone, BT out is always normally on a lower side basically. That is also the case because every businesses, every companies, they try to be a little focused more on the non-BT cases. This has been a trend what we have observed it basically. But having said so, the system that we have created, we feel that effective enough to curtail the customer in terms of engaging and ensuring that customer remains with us as far as possible. That is one piece. In terms of disbursement, I feel that this year even we cross 20% of disbursement number, which we are quite confident of and will do anyway beyond that piece, will be easily achieving 27-28% of AUM growth. And our thought is to continuously, ensure that numbers are very well around that piece, and we are already around that piece. We have delivered in the past, and there is not something aberration around that piece. Obviously, foster environment you have to keep in mind because it's a balanced business.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. That answers my question, and all the best for the coming year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Palacharala from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Just had two questions. First, one was on the long-term growth guidance that you have given. So, are you seeing any...
I'm sorry to interrupt, Varun. Your voice is muffled. We are losing your voice. Can you use your handset mode, please?
Is this better?
Yeah. Please proceed. Thank you.
I was just asking regarding the long-term growth guidance that you've given. So that 30,000 crore number, it's almost higher than what the largest affordable housing companies today stand at. So are we finding any pockets of or geographies where there's lower competition where we are expecting to grow faster? Or is there something like other than the branch expansion, 40-50 branches which you have already been doing, something which drives this growth, like how shift in ticket sizes, anything else which can explain this? Another thing was regarding margins. So we've seen, I think, a slight expansion of margins. Largely, it's cost of borrowings may not explain the full extent of it. Is there any difference in yields as well that we're seeing? That.
So recipe around in terms of your full market, how you to grow up, it cannot be one single direction, particularly Varanji, like in terms of opening branches or meeting the competition. We exist into the same market where the rest of the folks are doing it. Our largest market continue to remain Rajasthan, and there's the most of a competition. Everyone knows, relies in terms of affordable housing, and we are very diligently, strongly maintaining our numbers around that piece. Thankfully, our distribution is spread across 15 states. At this scale, at this level, very few companies have experimented to go into those markets at all. With time, the maturity is coming, that prudency is coming in terms of underwriting as we keep, creating our own vintage in these kind of states. So today, if there is some kind of disruption, for example, if Karnataka is disruption in south, then definitely AP, Telangana and Tamil Nadu is there to support. Same way, if there is some error which happens in some markets like MP, then Rajasthan, UP and Gujarat is there to support. So that way distribution is very well spread and that's firing well for us basically. So that's not the case. Additionally, the factors which are going to support, one is definitely branch opening of 40-45 branches. Secondly, the productivity drive on which we want to focus on per case, per employee, number of cases that has to keep improving on. That the focus around that piece in the same set of geographies, they do exist. Thirdly, we started with our digital journey, say a year back. That is also showing a good positive, returns in terms of that piece. So year and a half back, we were disbursing those numbers in a single digit. Today, we are disbursing some 20 to 30 crores out of digital alone, basically. In India Shelter, we always believe into this, technology and digital piece. I think this is something which is again going to fire positively in that sense. So all these three, four items, if you amalgamate together, that is a right recipe to come out with the output in terms of disbursement. Thankfully, the team strength of 4,500 with a strong collection support around that piece, network in a market which is distributed in terms of 307 branches, which is going to reach by 2030 up to 500 branches eventually, and the kind of technology process improvement has been done, and we continue to do in that piece. These all things are going to help in improving the disbursement and this journey going forward. So the strategy is very well laid down with all the aspects very clearly broken between the 3-4 items, which is going to help us out.
Varun, does that answer your question?
Yeah, but on the margins, like if you look at the reported margin number, it's kind of expanded from 9.1 to 9.5, and cost of borrowing is up, is down maybe about 10 to 15 basis points. So the other delta, where is it coming from?
So our first priority on the field, if you talk about operationally, is always to maintain the spread which is beyond 6%. Thankfully, this is in a great year in terms of your cost of fund borrowing because of market slashing down in terms of cost, and we get a benefit around that piece. But given any circumstances, we are committed to maintain the 6% of spread. This further populated to decent margins that we look into that side and continue to maintain the journey for next few years. Obviously, this cut into rates that help us out to maintain those margins which you're talking about in the last previous year.
And Varun, just to add here, in Q4 generally a lot of NPA resolution also happens. So while doing the resolution of these NPA, we end up recovering a portion of interest which we had not accrued earlier. So this is also contributing to increase in the NIM growth from 9% to 9.5%. Hope this explains.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meghna Luthra from InQuad Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Your message is on a good set of numbers. Sir, while you've indicated that we expect spreads to remain stable and growth to remain strong, there are a lot of conversations around the sharp rise in competition. And specifically, is there any state or any pockets that we are seeing a sharp rise in competition? And can you give some color which can impact our yield or growth, and which kind of lenders are these? Private banks, PSU banks, housing finance companies, or NBFCs?
Yeah, thank you. Every market is being, you know, plundered by all kind of competition, not now, but from beginning basically. So, but the serious players remain a serious. If you see irrespective competition going and coming and going back, basically, the number of set of players who are consistent and continuous, that piece that remain there from last 5, 7, 8 years at least, basically. So, any new player which is entering, they have their own hurdles around that piece to venture that market. There may be a small temporary jerks which someone may get because of the other. But otherwise, I don't think this kind of business, which is considered to be very both but very complex in that terms, has to get impact because of some competition. We are operating in all the competitive markets, which is considered to be competitive, not now but from last many years particularly. And performance coming around. That is not a point of concern very. It is only your ability to execute in those markets that matters. And I think not only us, but any serious player, they know their way how to play around in those markets in terms of competition also. So it is not a point of concern at all. Every market, every region have a certain set of you know, dominating players here and there. But that is always which is available, and that's a business expertise you built with the time. So it's not a point of worry. That is only I can assure you.
Got it. Thank you so much. That's it so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Lathia from Fractal Capital Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So we've grown almost 3.5x in the last 4 years, and yet our concentration of Rajasthan continues to be 30%+. Is that a very conscious thing, or you know, how should one really think about it going forward?
So going forward, Rajasthan concentration is going to ease down. By virtue of other geographies, their delivery mechanism is going to go up, basically. Though Rajasthan continue to remain the flagship zone for us, and their dispersing continue to grow, but thankfully, the trend what we are seeing in the other geographies, that is giving a little more in terms of a percentage growth, higher growth. So today, Rajasthan, which contributes, say, 30%, will be, say, 5 years down the line, maybe 25-26%. That's what we look forward. And other states, like for certain states in South or UP, you will find a better trends compared to in terms of percentage of AM going up, particularly in that cases, basically. This is, I look, if you talk about the long-term aspects in terms of AM ratios between the various states, particularly.
Sure. And a very commendable performance on the reduction in the BTO. Do you want to call out any specific measures that you might have taken to achieve that?
I think the strategies which team is able to put all together and engage in the customer. Today we have a strong digital presence connect with the customer and continue to engage using their understanding whether they are looking out for any fresh loan or BT loan or some rate reduction. That engagement is helping us out. The application, the app, customer app, which have now almost all the customers which is on our board are available on this application. The engagement, the notifications, as well as centralized team, which is very well working with engaging this customer, that is helping us out into this piece.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That was it for me.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prithviraj Patil from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Patil. Thanks for the opportunity. So, yeah, sorry.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. So I just had one question on the PBC level that we're operating on, because what I see is the home loan share has already reached dropped to around 57%. So I just want to know what's the PBC level we are at.
On the PBC front, you know, we are comfortably placed at about 64%. Though we have, you know, at a EUM level, our home loan ratio is close to 56%. But we have a strategy to, you know, doing a lot of direct assignment transaction. We were having about 5% of the book in form of co-lending, which is primarily pertained to LAP only. So all these, you know, measures to take LAP off book, helping us to maintain a, you know, fairly higher PBC, which is, so like, you know, regulatory threshold is 50%, and we are currently at 64%.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Pal from MSA Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the follow-up. So two questions. One is a bookkeeping one and one is a more strategic question. So you highlighted that you want to grow in the vicinity of 25%-30%. Let's work with about 27%-28%. And today we are sitting at roughly 55% of capital adequacy. And we are doing a return on equity of 17.5%. And because we are in the secured asset class, the total assets, risk-weighted assets is lower. So how do you think in terms of consuming this capital over the next, say, till FY 2030, your 30,000 crore AUM base?
So today, leverage is three times. I think we would like to go to the level of leverage around 4 or 4.5 times, basically, before thinking upon what to take a next course on that piece. So journey remains in that direction, particularly. And our objective is, today, this times may be looking a little conservative in terms of the cautionary environment. But as the things comes in a better form, we have to take it up very fast in this set. That is always our thought. So I think as we reach around 4.5 times in terms of leverage, we'll be then thinking about how to take it to the next level, whether to raise the funds, QIP, or something that will work around that side.
Understood. And sir, this quarter, Q4, or I would say even for that matter, the entirety of FY 2026, we've seen a good growth in that 25+ lakh bucket, and I would also say 15-25 lakh bucket in terms of ticket size. But yet, our average ticket size that we show in our presentation, that has not budged above 10 lakhs over the last, say, 4-5 quarters.
So we were not doing at all earlier, these above 25 lakhs and all. We try to test these markets, and that's working decently well. Because you see the growth on a very, very low base, almost negligible base, and that's why look a growth around that piece. But if you see on these particular ticket size, we have done a handful of cases particularly, which we initially were fully stocked around that side. So our large AUM, our large disbursement still continue to remain the ticket size that we are into, basically. So there may be a slight improvement of some 10-15 basis points in terms of average output in terms of ATS, what you're talking about.
So that's what I'm saying, that the ATS should start looking closer to 10.2-10.5 types.
Probably this is something which will slightly go up in the coming days, basically. Maybe coming quarters, not instantly now, basically. So if there'll be maybe consistent in these sum of volume, we're talking about 25, which we have an intent to do, basically, because that's giving us decent confidence and decent output in that terms. So if that happens, maintaining all the optics, this is slightly inch up. So what you're showing us being 10 today, that may be 10.5 in, say, 2, 3, 4 quarters beyond.
Understood. Understood. No, this was about it. This was about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satyam Kumar from JM Group. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kumar, we are not able to hear you.
Hello.
Satyam Kumar? Yes?
Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible now. Please proceed. Thank you.
So I have a couple of questions. First is a bookkeeping question. Just wanted to understand what percentage of your LAP book is backed by SORP kind of collateral, number one. And number two, just wanted to understand, as you guided an AUM growth of around 25%-30% going forward, and disbursement, you said it will be anywhere around 20%. So just wanted to understand how this gap will be bridged, what will be the BT out ratio or closures, and how these numbers have historically been. So if you can throw some color on it.
So LAP, we have almost 98% of SORP, self-occupied residential property, where we do the LAP. And this is improving as we progress in time, basically. That is all about the LAP book. 25 to 30% is the growth on AUM that we expect. And in current scenario, we expect 20% and beyond in terms of the disbursement. But that doesn't mean this 20% is going to remain 20% forever. That is a lot of scope of improvement even in future that we are quite optimistic about. Seeing our past trend as well as the same kind of synergies that we are building in terms of digital productivity and branch opening basically. So this is a cautionary environment that we are talking a little conservative around that piece. But as the things progress, then we have to open it up gate because 30,000 crore is a AUM target. Even if you run at a 26-27% of AUM growth, will be able to achieve that piece. But our thought is this disbursement growth, which is running around 20% of growth that we look forward, should automatically pick up as the time progresses in terms of 25 and beyond, basically.
No, I completely understand. Going around 26-27%, we will reach that capital AUM.
Sorry, can you please repeat?
Hello.
Satyam, this is cracking. Can you please repeat?
Am I audible?
Yes, but your Hello. Voice is cracking in between, Satyam.
I'm sorry, Satyam, we are not able to hear you.
Still I'm not audible?
Yeah, right now we can hear you. Please proceed.
Sure. So, just a follow-up. Just for FY27, if I'm looking at, just wanted to understand the gap between disbursement and AUM growth. Just for FY27, if we look, say, for example, our book is growing around 25, 27, 28%, whatever it is, and disbursement is growing at 20-odd%. So how this gap between disbursement and AUM growth will be bridged? Like new loans is growing at 20%. How book will grow at 27? Just wanted to understand from you how this will be bridged, basically.
So, first and foremost, the BT out percentage, which used to be higher earlier, that has coming down thanks to the AUM which have created, number one, that works around that piece, and over the mechanism which has worked around that piece. And particularly, when you are talking about 20% of disbursement growth, anything above 20% on that piece is going to fetch you the positivity in that particularly. But this is something what we are easily finding out around that piece. So, that number works on Excel, you can give it to you.
Understood. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gandhi from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. I think the BPI has been asked, if you could just help with those numbers, in the repayment case, what is the number of leading of BPI? What is the prepayment and what is the normal...
I'm sorry, Sonal. Can you please use your handset mode?
Is my voice better now? Hello? Let me try, otherwise I'll take it offline. Just wanted to check, your repayment rates, what is it that you're including as BT out, normal runoff and prepayment? And second is, if you could just help us with, what proportion of your book is on fixed yields currently, what is semi-variable and variable yields? And is it that because of the fixed book, we are seeing lower BT outs, or in general the environment, has become a more conducive?
So if you talk about today, we have around 13-14% of book which is on floating. Rest remain into fixed or semi-fixed kind of product, where the fixation is for 3 years technically. And that book is again now around 10-12%, which means approximately 70%, 65-70% book that contribute to the mean of the fixed particularly. And that is again one of the good factors which support us in terms of BT out. Thankfully, conservative environment also supports you. Typically, when the environment is very cautionary, the BT trends normally goes down basically. So these are the two factors definitely which is helping us out. And third important aspect, engagement of customer, which we put a unit around a year back, that is also giving a good output in terms of cutting in customer.
Got it. And sir, on the BT out part, or else I can do it offline.
Ms. Sonal Gandhi, can you repeat your question, please?
Sir, if I look at repayment case, what would be proportion of BT out, normal runoff, and prepayments that you are building in your SPV?
Out of the total prepayment, two-thirds, goes in the form of BT out, and rest is own fund prepayment. And, answering to your previous question that, whether it is coming from variable rate book or fixed rate book, variable rate book is hardly about 2.5-3 year old, so it is, too early to do that kind of analysis. So once the book will start seasoning and it will be, significant proportion of the total AUM, probably we'll be able to do that analysis at that point of time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Deora from Investco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to recheck what the management said. So to hit this 30,000 crore target, we will be targeting a disbursement growth of about 20%. Is that what I heard?
That is for the first year particularly. This can't be the sustainable for long term. We have to definitely pull it up basically. When someone asks me how you want to deal with this cautionary environment, and this is something that we want to maintain as of now. But as time progresses, that has to go up.
So are we saying that Q4 FY26 was sort of the bottom in terms of the disbursement growth? I think this quarter it was around 11%. And
I am talking about this year. We have to show the disbursement beyond 20%, which we are positive about basically. That is what I am saying. Right? If you start, please don't allow me to compare between Q4 and how the Q1 has to work on. Basically, that will give you some kind of forward looking. But yes, this is something what we are looking in terms of long term.
Got it. Thank you. And are you seeing the environment change enough? Because I believe that some part of the disbursement growth was curtailed intentionally because of the macro environment. So have you seen the environment change enough? Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what we are watching it very clearly. And we are prepared very well. As the environment changes, we should be ready to take it up to the next level.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this follow-up. Just wanted to reconfirm, you indicated that the increase in stage 2 which is there and the entire provisioning, that is more of a management overlay buffer of 5 odd crores. Maybe the ECL provisioning in stage 2 is moving up from 10 to 15 odd crores. That's primarily the management overlay.
Yes, considering the overall macro environment, and we have also gone through the RBI circular, which says that there should be minimum 1.5% for home loan and 2.5% for LAP loan should be the minimum base threshold for ECL. And considering the fact that we are primarily catering to self-employed people, tier 2, tier 3 geographies, it is good to keep a good buffer on stage 2 assets.
Okay, so this overlay was only in stage 2.
Yes.
Okay, and do we plan to create further overlay, or we are given that now it's almost like more than 5% coverage on this, would there be some increase or catch up in the overlay getting into FY27 and your guidance of 40 to 50 odd basis points, does it take into account the overlay buffer as well?
So frankly, we have reached to a stage wherein now we were awaiting for the RBI guidelines on ECLs. So we have got those guidelines, though they are not applicable to us. And we have created a briefly 2x buffer of over the regulatory threshold. And we have always, kept that kind of threshold historically. So now we have built those buffer. And in case future, low credit cost regime is there, probably we may further take up our buffers. But frankly, at this point of time, we don't have any plans to, further stack up the buffers.
Sure. And just one more clarification, both on the asset and on the liability side in terms of the mix of fixed and floating. So last quarter, I think you indicated 84% of the borrowing was floating. This time, I heard maybe you mentioned like fixed rate has come down to 8-odd% and you plan to bring it down to 5-odd%. Was it that related to the borrowing? And last time you indicated like almost 85% of the AUM was fixed. I think this time you commented almost like 65% to 70% is fixed. So if you can just clarify in terms of both on the asset and on the liability side, how much is the fixed versus floating? Yeah.
Sure. Let me, you know, reiterate how the overall AUM stacked up in terms of interest rate reset. So about 15% of the AUM is there, which is variable rate. Then about 37% of the AUM is there, which is wherein the interest rate is like semi-variable structure, fixed for initial 3 years and variable subsequently. Then about 48% of the book is there, which is a fixed rate book altogether. So if you look at how we are funding this fixed rate book of 48%, so out of this 48%, about 25% is getting funded through our equity, and remaining about 17% is getting funded through our fixed rate borrowings that we have on our book. Then remaining percentage is at about 7-8%, which is fixed rate book, which is funded by variable rate liabilities.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, this is helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings call. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to hosting you all in the next quarter. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please feel free to reach us out. Thank you so much and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.